Kagaya nung ipinaliwanag ko last week, while usually during this period, I would normally teach something about the death of Christ or the passion. But since we've done this consecutively over several years, minabuti ko na this month is to address something which is also quite in vogue these days, yung patungkol sa mga espiritu. Merong isang pelikula nga, ang caption niya ay, "This is the month of the angry ghost." Angry ba? Hungry. Pero makikita natin sa media, sa maraming mga pelikula, sa mga nobela, mga best-selling novels ngayon, mga vampire stories. Best-selling author Stephenie Meyer, yung best-selling novel, naging pelikula na, Twilight. Mga vampire ang mga stories, mga world of spirits. Kaya minabuti ko na itong buwan na ito ay tutukan natin ang larangan ng mga espiritu. And last week, we saw that the scriptures recognize the presence, the existence of the spirits. At pinakita natin iba't ibang mga katawagan sa Biblia, lumang tipan, bagong tipan, pare-parehong kumikilala ng presensya, kapangyarihan ng mga espiritu. Pero isang bagay na pinaulit-ulit ko rin, pinapailalim natin ito sa creation and also providence. Kaya kung mapapansin niyo doon sa inawit natin kanina, sinabi, "The whole creation join in one to bless the sacred name." At isa sa mga creation na yan ay yung angels round the throne. So in other words, we recognize that while there is a spirit of spirits, ngunit yung mga espiritu na yan ay hindi para mga pakawalang kapangyarihan na hindi control ng Diyos. Maging mga espiritu nasa ilalim ng nilalang at nasa ilalim ng providensya ng Diyos. At pagdating sa bagong tipan, dinagdagan pa the Lordship of Christ. Kaya anuman ang kapangyarihan ang mayroon, anumang kapangyarihan mayroon ang mga espiritu, hindi sila kumakawala sa nilalang, sa nilikha ng Diyos at gayon din sa kanyang providensya. At pagdating sa bagong tipan, ang Panginoong Jesucristo ay may pagkapanginoon maging sa larangan ng mga espiritu. Kaya isang tatlong bagay yung sinabi natin, iiwasan natin. Iwasan natin una yung mapamahiing takot. We must avoid superstitious fear. In the past, in the ancient world, there was a lot of superstitions concerning spirits, people who tripped, thought they were pushed by demons. Yung mga napatid, akala nila pinatid sila ng mga demonyo. Ganyan yung mga superstitions nila, wala tayo dapat ganyan mga pamahiin. On the other hand, we must avoid occult fascination. At iwasan din natin yung pakikisangkot sa mga okulto, itong mga gumagamit ng mga pamamaraan, mga kasangkapan ng occult sa kanilang paniniwala na sila'y nakikipagsangguni sa mga espiritu. And diyan nga umikot yung discussion natin. Marami sa mga tanong ay tungkol sa pakikipag-ugnayan o pagsangguni ng mga espiritu. We said, and I make it very clear, that the dead have no communication with the living. That's clearly taught in the scriptures. So how do we explain this phenomenon of people showing up who were supposed to be dead? Yung tinatawag nating ghosts, multo. And I said that it's either a mere hallucination of the man, of the person, or somebody deceiving him. And if it is a real spiritual experience, it must be demonic. We have one exception in the scriptures, the case of Samuel appearing to Saul when he was dead. But even there, yung sorcerer na ginamit doon, hindi niya akalain na mangyayari iyon. And still, even Saul's activity of consulting the dead was treated as a serious offense. Hindi natin pwedeng excuse yung mga occult. And we will be having something, we will have a lot to say concerning the occult next Sunday. Yung ikatlo naman na iwasan natin is modern contempt. Yung paghamak sa mga usapin na pang-espiritu. Yan naman yung mga palibasa, yung mga science na ang nangingibabaw ngayon. Ang nagiging attitude ng marami, spirits, demons, angels, that's That's something that they treat with contempt. That too, we must avoid. So yung tatlong bagay na yun, huwag nating hayaang mangyari sa atin. Superstition, nagiging takot, occult, but on the other hand, contempt. We should not treat the sphere of the spirits with contempt. Magkaroon tayo ng balancing saloobin sa bagay na yan. Ngayon, because spirits are moral creatures, ibig sabihin yan, merong mga good spirits, may mga evil spirits. So yan ang titingnan natin sa magkasunod na linggo ngayon. We will look today on the good spirits, which we call angels. And next week, the evil spirits, which the New Testament calls demons. So bakit angels in danger? Bukod sa inahabol yung rhyming, the topic of angels is in danger today because of so many abuses, fantasies, speculations, and so many other things that are being done not only by the superstitious and the novelists, kundi ng mga serious Christians. Angels are very much in fashion today. Marami mga celebrities ang nagkiklaim ng kanilang angelic friends, you know, like Shirley MacLaine, John Travolta. Meron daw sila mga kaibigang angels na pinapangalanan pa nila. Baka meron kayo, gusto nyo ipakilala mamaya. Pero ang point rito ay popular, itong idea ng dealing with angels. So we will discuss today, how do God's angels interact with humans? Paano ba nakikitungo, nakikipag-ugnayan ang mga anghel sa mga tao at ano yung tamang saloobin ng Kristiyano? So what should the Christian attitude be to angels and how do angels interact with humans? Tatlong bagay yung gagawin natin bilang sagot yan. We will do three things. First, from the term angel, meron na tayong makukuha riyan. And then we will use the most exhaustive passage in the Bible that treats angels. And then thirdly, we will be looking at some passages that either give us myths, mga katang-isip, at ano yung katotohanan tungkol sa mga anghel. So yan yung tatlong bagay na gagawin natin. Kaya unang-una, what do angels really do? Well, of course, let's take that from the very term angel. Ano ba itong angel? In Hebrew, malach. In Greek, angelos, which means both messenger, mensahero, tagapagdala ng mensahe. Kaya sa katawagang yan, in that category, we can easily see the major function of angels. The major function of angels is to bear a message, to bring a message to people whom God chooses. At yan naman ang makikita natin sa mga cases ng appearances of angels, both Old and New Testaments. When angels appeared, they had a message. A message to yung appearances ng the angel of the Lord, appearances kay Jacob, kay Gideon, kay Daniel, and then pag meron silang paglitaw, pagpapakita, may dala-dala silang mensahe. Pero sa mga pagpapakita ng mga anghel sa kasaysayan ng Biblia, the most concentrated period of angelic appearances was at the arrival of the Messiah. Sa Old Testament, bihira. Few cases and far between. But in the New Testament, in a period of a few months, we see an angel appearing to Mary, an angel appearing to Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, an angel appearing to Joseph, angels appearing to the shepherds in a period of just a few months. Kaya masasabi natin, there must be something very important, isang napakahalagang transition because that's when angels appeared. When angels appeared, there was a significant transition in God's revelation. Now, the most concentrated period of appearance of angels is in the arrival of the Messiah. And there we see the most important message of all. The most important message of course, is the Messiah coming. Dumarating na ang tagapagligtas. Dumating na ang Messias. Yung mga host of angels who appeared to the shepherds. Yun ang kanilang sinabi. Christ is born in the city of David. Today, the Savior is born. So that's the most important message of all. Pinaka-importanteng mensahe na daladala ng mga anghel ay yung mensaheng may kinalaman sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Now, ang tanong sa ating ngayon ay, kung yan ang trabaho ng mga anghel, magdala pa rin ng magdala ng mensahe, sila yung mga mensahero. The logical issue that we raise is, do angels still appear today to bring a message? Fair question and logical question. Especially, we are dealing with the fact that God's revelation has been completed. Yan ang ilagay natin to sa punto na complete revelation. May kumpleto ng pahayag ang Diyos with the completion of the Bible. So, it's fair to ask, with the Bible complete, with God's revelation complete, do angels still appear to give a message? Well, I will answer that in two ways. First, because they are still called angels, hindi naman na iba yung tawag sa kanila, they are still angels, then they must still be messengers. If they continue to be angels, then they continue to be messengers, which means they continue to bring a message. They continue to be God's bearers of a message to chosen people. Kaya hindi natin itatanggi na maaaring nagdadala pa rin ng mensahe ang mga anghel ngayon. Pero, ito yung ikalawang sagot riyan, since special revelation exists with Scripture, so must special appearances. Dahil yung natatanging pahayag ng Diyos ay nakumpleto na at natapos na, yung natatangi ring pagpapakita ng mga anghel ay hindi na nangyayari. Paano na nangyayari ngayon ang pagpapakita ng mga anghel? May napakahalagang talata. Buksan ninyo sa Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So nariyan daw ngayon ang paano tayo nakakaroon ng pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga anghel. In the ordinary course of our Christian hospitality or our Christian graces, let brotherly love continue, in the ordinary course of that, some have entertained angels, pero take note yung keyword dyan, unwittingly. Yung salitang yan, yan din ang ginamit na salita sa Mark 7:24 na tumutukoy sa lingid, sa kaalaman ng mga tao yung pagdating ni Jesucristo. So pag sinabi mong lingid, hindi alam. So what can we assume dito sa sinabing ito na we are entertaining angels, we are actually talking to angels probably yet unaware? Well, two things again. Unang-una, it assumes that we are dealing with angels but in human form. Kasi hospitality, brotherly love, in the ordinary course of that, we do something good to a person and yet without realizing it, we are doing it to an angel. But what that means is that we are doing so in an ordinary course of action, which means the person we are doing that to is in human form. Hindi natin alam, hindi natin masasabing anghel to. Kundi nung makaugnayan natin ay in human form. And that means we do not know that the being we are dealing with is an angel. So unwitting. So it assumes that Christians still have dealing with angels, but they appear in human form. And the event, if that ever happens, it is hidden from our awareness. Hindi natin alam. Kaya bilang sagot sa nakikitungo pa ba, nakikipag-ugnayan pa ba ang mga anghel sa atin, my answer is yes, but not in the way of special revelation as it happened during biblical times. After the biblical revelation has been completed, angels do still deal with us, but on our part, we are unwitting. It is beyond our awareness, lingid sa ating kaalaman. Kaya nga ang ingatan natin dito, beware of this casual claim of people who say they communicate with angels. Yung napakaluwag na angkinin na may nakakausap silang mga anghel, may nagpapakita sa kanilang mga anghel, eh mag-ingat po tayo riyan. It's a gentle reminder to us na we do not casually claim talking to angels. Because if ever we do, the Bible says it is unwitting. Maybe nagawa, maaaring nangyari na talaga sa inyo. Pero kapag inaangkin mo na nakausap mo, eh hindi na unwitting. If ever we do, it is beyond our awareness. We're not conscious of it. Maaaring may mga karanasan ka na may nakatulong sa iyo na hindi mo inaasahan. Well, who knows? It may be an angel, but the point is, you don't know. You are not aware. And any casual claim of people dealing with angels, ingatan po natin. At madalas nga kapag merong mga ganyang pag-aangkin, ang nangyayari po ay naaagaw yung atensyon kay Jesucristo. Instead of the focus on Christ, I mean, just let any person testify, I talked to an angel. Would you still listen to him about Christ? You want to know what happened to the experience ng angel. Yun agad ang umaagaw ng atensyon, kaya nga ingatan natin. At madalas pa, kapag merong mga ganyang pag-aangkin, it is often attended with common myths about angels but unbiblical. Isang halimbawa, karaniwan sa mga palabas sa mga sinihan, kapag angels, anong pinapakita? Female form. In the Bible, there is no female form of appearance of an angel. Any angelic appearance was in masculine form and masculine names. No, hindi natin sinasabing mas matataas ang mga lalaki dito. No, you know my position on that. But nonetheless, it shows the myth. Kapag may nagpakita sa aking anghel, karaniwan, babae, a female form. And isa pa, isa rin napakakaraniwan, may pakpak. There are two references in the scriptures about angels flying, but flying does not necessarily mean winged. Then cherubim, seraphim are said to be winged creatures, but cherubim and seraphim have the special function na guardia doon sa trono ng Panginoong Diyos. And we cannot make a jump of an equation ng cherubim are angels. But angels are never described in all of the scriptures as having wings. So saan natin nakuha yung mga ganong kathang isip? Eh, kathalang ng mga tao. At hindi mula sa kasulatan. Kaya pag may mga nagaangkin na ganyan, yan ang makapansin nyo. May daladalang mga kathang isip yung kanilang inaangkin. So, with respect to angels, yes, they're still active. They're still dealing with us. But on our part, on the level of an awareness. Hindi natin nalalaman. Ngayon, punta tayo sa the most extended passage on angels, Hebrews chapter 1 hanggang Hebrews chapter 2. Hindi natin babasahin to buo. But some important parts. Hebrews chapter 1. Alam natin ang ginagawa rito ng writer. Ipinapakita niya yung kataasan ni Jesucristo. At isa sa kataasan niya, ipinakita na nakahihigit siya sa mga anghel. Hebrews 1 verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you. Then verse 6. When he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. So makikita natin dito yung ginagawa ay ang mga anghel mismo sumasamba kay Jesucristo. Kaya ang isang burden ng passage na ito ay ipakita na mas mataas si Kristo kaysa sa mga anghel. That's the point of this passage. The superiority of Christ to angels is established. But then, pinapakita rin dito that the nature of angels is superior to human nature. Dahil nung si Kristo raw ay nagkatawang tao, anong sinabi sa chapter 2 verse 9? But we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, etc. So, ito yung isang bagay raw na nang si Jesucristo ay nagkatawang tao, naging mas mababa siya sa anghel sa kanyang kalikasang tao. Kaya ang punto riyan, yung kalikasan ng tao ay mas mababa kaysa sa anghel. In what way? Well, among other things, sinabi riyan, by becoming a man, Jesus will suffer death. So, nung pinapakita niya sa mga anghel, they are not capable of dying. Ang mga anghel hindi mamamatay. They are immortal creatures. And as immortal creatures, kahit na tusukin mo yung kanyang dibdib, hindi siya mawawala. Mga vampira daw, ganun. Pero hindi ang mga anghel. No death. No mortality. When Jesus became man, He became lower than the angel in His human nature. Kaya yung human nature natin, mas mababa kaysa sa anghel. Nakita natin yan sa mga nakaraan nating scripture reading, di ba? Nung pakawalan si Peter mula sa kanyang kulungan, anghel daw ang nagpakita sa kanya, basta na lang nagbukasan yung mga pinto na hindi ginagalaw ng anghel, nakapasok siya sa mga nakakulong na mga pader. So, the power of angelic nature, which is beyond human nature. Kaya, mas mataas si Kristo, pero nung siya'y nagkatawang tao, yung likas na pagkatao, mas mababa kaysa anghel. But then, in this same text, and it is on top of your handout, Hebrews 1:14, the ministry of angels to believers is defined. And what is that ministry? Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Dito, yung kanilang gawain daw ay may kinalaman sa paglilingkod para sa kapakanan ng mga magmamana ng kaligtasan. Now, that very verse tells us something of the angels' main concern is believers. And what about believers? Dahil sinabi yung magmamana ng kaligtasan, ang ibig sabihin ay yung buong buhay niya in terms of salvation means progress until glory. So hanggang sa siya'y magmana, pag sinabing magmana, yun ang kaustuhan ng kanyang kaligtasan. Kaya ang ma-assume natin dyan, ang pinakatrabaho ng mga anghel ay ingatan ang mga mananampalataya upang sila'y magprogreso sa kanilang kaligtasan hanggang sa kanilang manahin ang kahustuhan ng kaligtasan. So from these descriptions of angels, 2 points again. First, angels are not to be accorded any treatment that supersedes Christ. Hindi natin dapat tratuhin ang mga anghel sa anumang paraan na humihigit kay Kristo. Kaya nga kapag meron ng mga nagpapatutuo ng kanilang pakikitungo, pakikipag-usap, pakikipagtalastasan sa mga anghel, umaagaw na yan ang atensyon. Kaya Jesucristo, kaya ingatan natin. We are not to treat angels with any honor that supersedes the honor of Jesus Christ. If they do anything, it is in order that they may serve Christ and through believers. And angelic activities with believers focus on the progress of salvation until glory. Eh kapag anghel na ang lagi na lang tinutukoy sa kanilang mga quote-unquote swerte, yung kanilang career advancement o kaya miracles, mag-ingat tayo sa mga bagay na yon. Ang trabaho ng mga anghel ay para sa pagmamana natin ng kaligtasan. So that means sanctification. Until glory. That's the angelic ministry. Yun, sa huling bahagi, tingnan natin yung ibang mga talata kung saan may mga nagagamit ng mga kathang isip. Kaya paghiwalayin natin o pagibahin natin yung katha lang, myths, at yung truths, katotohanan. Ano yung masasabi natin katha lang sa anghel? Ano yung itinuturo talaga ng salita ng Diyos? Well, two myths. One is the so-called guardian angels. Meron bang guardian angel? Tingnan nyo sa Matthew 18 verse 10. Ito yung karaniwang ginagamit riyan. Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So, sabi, their angels, mga anghel nila. At ang naging palagay ng marami ay bawat isa, bawat isang bata, ay may guardian angel na nagbabantay. Ay, kung totoo yan, napakaraming guardian angels ang pabaya. maraming nasasaktang bata, maraming... Ay, kaya hindi po guardian angel ito. Kung papansinin ninyo, their angels are in heaven. Kung guardian angel sila, ba't sila nasa heaven? Dapat nandun sila, nagbabantay. Now, there have been several interpretations of this. The one that I personally favor is the one given by B.B. Warfield, na sa kanyang paniniwala, it is referring to the afterlife of the little ones. When they die, the afterlife, at least for those whom Jesus was referring to, would be in the presence of God. Kaya, do not despise them. Kasi the Jews would tend to despise them in the sense na wala pa silang status under the law. Hanggang sila'y bata pa, hanggang pumasa sila sa bar mitzvah, when they pass through the qualification and they are regarded as under law, wala pa silang status under the law, and the tendency is to despise their status as being outside of God. And what Jesus may be saying here, I'm not making a dogmatic proposition, but what Jesus may be saying here is that you do not despise them because even if they die, they are in the presence of God. And it is not unbiblical to speak of human beings in terms of angels. Ginamit yan sa salita ng Diyos in that sense. So, yun ang isang posibilidad na paliwanag, not necessarily guardian angels. And then, isa pang popular ngayon, angelic warfare. Saan yan kinuha? Tingnan nyo sa Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10 verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," ito yung sinasabi ng angel kay Daniel. Let's begin verse 12. "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone in there with the kings of Persia.'" And then jump to verse 20. "Then he said, 'Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against this except Michael, your prince," etc. Again, ang nangyari dito ay inabuso naman ng gusto. It seems that the angel talking to Daniel was referring to a conflict between himself and another angelic being. At ginamit pa yung salitang fight. So, may paglalaban, may paglalabanan. Well, ang kaso nangyari dito, inabuso ng marami, especially there are very popular novels written by Frank Peretti. I've read two of those novels, and as novels, I find them exciting. I mean, entertaining. Ang mga novels niya about angelic warfares. At nangyayari daw, yung mga good angels natatalo kapag kulang sa prayer life, ang mga churches. Maganda yung concept niya. At gusto ko yung concept niya, pero it's a fiction. It's a fictional concept, pero sineryoso ng maraming Kristiyano ngayon. At ngayon, popular na yung idea ng angelic warfares, territorial spirits, exorcising territorial spirits, na meron daw mga demons na nagpo-possess hindi lamang ng individuals, kundi ng isang community. And what you need to do is make a Jericho walk of some sort para gibain. Eh, masyado nang inabuso na pinagsama-sama na ang mga bagay na ito. All that we can say is this, angelic beings engage among themselves but above our conscious observation. Hindi ito malalaman ni Daniel unless the angel himself told him. Now, unless an angel talaga sabihin sa'yo, in the case of Daniel, he would never have known. Which means on the purely conscious, natural observation, we do not know. Ganyan nga nangyari sa servant ni Elisha. Elisha had to pray to open his eyes and then he saw the chariots of fire. But the point again is, it's beyond our natural observation. It had to be revealed. So, wag nating abusuhin. They are dealing among themselves, but we do not know how. And this is handled with reserve in Scripture. You only have this passage to bank on. At kung bubuo na tayo ng mga malalaking kwento mula riyan, that is not to reflect the reserve that Scriptures exercise to handle this subject. So, let us avoid itong mga wild speculations concerning angels. Now, the two things we can say of angels with clear scriptures are that there are watching angels. Nakatingin ang mga anghel. At kung titingnan natin yung mga talata dito, this especially is true with regard to the order in the church. Kaya may sinabi sa 1 Corinthians 11, the manner of praying because of the angels who watch. Kumbaga, concern ng mga angels yung order, kaayusan sa iglesia, at hindi lamang kaayusan sa iglesia, kasama na rito yung mga nangunguna sa iglesia. So we can say that angels are watching, but with special attention to church order and leadership. That's what angels are concerned about. And then fourthly, avenging angels. Yan ang marami. Sometimes, on a nation, as in the case of Assyria, na kinubkob yung Samaria, at nung gutom na gutom na yung mga tao, alam niyo yung kwento ng mga ketongin ang siyang lumabas, at nakita nila roon ay nag-alisa na yung mga at kumukubkob sa kanila, the besieging Assyrians, and the explanation was that an angel of the Lord nagdala ng salot sa kanila. So it can be a community. It can even be a person, an individual, whom God will judge and God will use angels. And in the end time, it will be the whole world. And Jesus no less said He will send His angels para maghiganti sa mundo. Kaya ang makikita natin dito ay divine judgment may employ angels as carriers, although using natural causes. But again, we are not allowed to speculate na kapag merong nangyaring bagyo o yung kidlat tumama sa isang tao, kinidlat ng anghel sa kanya. Ang punto ron ay we just acknowledge the fact that angels may be sent by the Lord to carry out judgment, punishment, but it is something that may use natural causes, but it is not allowed for us to speculate when, how, at what point. So, ang masasabi natin sa pagkilos ng mga anghel, it gives us a supernatural connection sa providence. There is something supernatural, meaning it's not just the natural causes and processes. Providence moves with supernatural agents carrying them out. Which means on our part, we do have a connection to the supernatural, but let us avoid speculation and wild fantasies. Ang kinakailangan dito ay pagkilala lamang na aktibo ang mga anghel, at ang isang bagay na aktibo sila ay aktibo sila sa paglilingkod para sa kapakanan natin na tungo sa kaligtasan. So there is something supernatural, yes, but avoid speculation and fantasies and superstition when it comes to angels. They are active, but they are beyond our natural observation, and their activity is for the purpose of our progress in salvation until we come to glory. Any question? If you have questions, yes, sir.
Somewhere in Scripture, it says, many are gathered, but few are chosen. In the community, there are have been and there are people who have experienced the presence of our Lord. When someone has a personal encounter of our Lord, they, you know, they've let the Lord into their lives. It may be because they've read the scriptures, you know. Is it possible for some people, one of the angels of our Lord, they may have felt the presence that way? Because personally, I think it's from the Lord himself. Yes.
Well, you cited first the scripture, many...
I just remembered. Is it... In your words, is it the ones who have truly experienced, those who have let the Lord into their lives, have they actually truly experienced the presence of the Lord? Or is that when those few are chosen, those actual few have experienced the presence of the Lord in that order?
First of all believers... All true believers have the presence of the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us that a believer is one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, Romans chapter 8. And in that sense, all believers have experienced and do have the presence of the Lord. And then, by way of experience, some believers have an experience of being close to the Lord, and in that sense, a special presence that others don't experience, because they're not being close to the Lord, the nearness of the Lord. So in that sense, all believers have the presence of the Lord. In another sense, only some believers have a closer sense of God's presence than others. But it does not have to mean that one should experience an actual angelic appearance in order for him to conclude that God is present with him. As I said, using Hebrews 13, verse 2, angels do actively engage with us, but on our part, on the level of the unconscious, on the level that we do not observe, on the level that we are not physically sensible of it. But I have no doubt that angels are active. Now, the scripture you cited is actually discussing another point, not about the presence of the Lord. The complete citation is, many are called, not gathered. Many are called, but few are chosen, which in Matthew 22 has to do with Israel and the extent of God's grace to Gentiles. Other questions? Choi.
Pastor, going back to the review portion on the top of this paper, it says here that we must avoid superstitious fear, occult fascination, and modern contempt. Could you give us a more concrete about modern contempt?
Modern contempt means you treat this subject with something of a not only unbelief, but with derogatory attitude. You know, people, yung mga sa kanilang palagay, scientific na sila, educated sila, and to them, the sphere of spirits is something they don't believe, at ginagawa nilang katatawanan at hinahamak. So iwasan natin yun. Kaya ayaw natin ng mapamahiing takot, ayaw natin ng occult fascination, pero on the other extreme, do not fall into a contempt of the sphere of spirits, because they are real. Sa scripture, nakita natin na kinikilala yung pagkatotoo nila, pati na yung kapangyarihan nila, bagamat hindi dapat katakutan dahil sa tagumpay ni Kristo sa kanila. Pakibasa na lang. Magbasa tayo ng isa mula sa mga bata.
Tanong po ng mga bata, Lucifer was a good angel before, right? Well, can an angel become a traitor suddenly and become a demon nowadays? Like an angel was on a mission, then was overcome by sin, like Satan. Ah yes, this one too. Can an angel sin? I thought they're more immortal servants of God. But why Lucifer?
Well, it's a good question. And we will deal with that more next Sunday. Itong paano nagkaroon ng mga demons. Yes, Lucifer, as the name attached to Satan as an angel, was a good angel before, but as we shall see next Sunday, there was a rebellion in heaven led by Lucifer, and according to Revelation 12, he took with him a third of the stars, meaning a third of the angels, and if there are thousands upon thousands, then he took a good number of them and tried a heavenly coup d'etat and did not succeed. And that became yung tinatawag na natin ngayong evil spirits. But then, there are also, 1 Timothy 5:21, may tinawag na elect angels. So, between the good spirits, angels, and the evil spirits na demons, there was a rebellion by some of the good spirits, and they became demons. And we will see that more next Sunday. So, yun ang nangyari doon. So, their moral, being moral creatures means, yes, it is possible for them to sin. Just as Adam and Eve were created good, but it was possible for them to sin, and they sinned. That's what happened to some of the good angels.
Sa mga kabataan, next week ko na rin babasahin yung question kasi puro evil spirits, evil angels.
Puro evil spirits. Sige, balik kayo sa Sunday.
So dapat bumalik kayo Sunday.
Yung mga tungkol sa evil spirits and demons,
next week na.
Pati na yung mga magtatanong ng demon possession, ay next Sunday po natin tatalakayin yan. Any question about angels? Jean?
Pastor, kung if the work of the angels in the believers is in the progress of salvation, is it worthwhile for Christians to acknowledge even if you don't see the work of the angels, to acknowledge and give gratitude to the Lord for what's been done through these angels? Is it worthwhile, or you spend time na isipin mo ito ba, ay tinutulungan ba ako ng ministering spirits or no?
Well, acknowledge in the sense na you recognize that God uses angels for your preservation in providence, etc. Well, that's what the New Testament does. It from time to time, it acknowledges the angels. And tayo, when we remember, pag may Lord's Supper tayo, we read our church covenant. Anong sinasabi natin doon sa church covenant? In the presence of God and of angels. So we acknowledge the presence of angels. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm sure it's worthwhile. What is, yung ingatan natin is we fall into speculations and wild fantasies concerning angels. Suzette.
Follow up dun sa ano ni Ate Jean, Pastor. So if that's the case, so kung if ever may ministering angels, then there is also the opposite na, di ba? The demons are like roaring lions na nag-aano, Pastor. So ibig sabihin nun, sa isang Kristiyano, merong kasi sabi mo there's no parang warfare, but it seems that if may ministering angels, meron ding dun sa roaring lion na yung mga demons, Pastor.
Oh yes, definitely, yes. In fact, na-discuss rin natin last week, demons are active. And demons are active in opposition to the cause of Christ, and among the important in the cause of Christ is the progress of believers. And that's something that demons are determined to oppose. And makikita natin ano yung ginagamit nila para pigilin ang mga mananampalataya sa kanilang progreso. So you can believe that demons are active. As I preach, demons are active. Di ba?
Pastor.
Choy.
During our sanctification, ay may participation ba ang mga angels sa mga believers?
Well, ministering spirits, which means that they serve the good of believers pertaining to their salvation. Now, as to how in detail, we are not given sa scripture. Alam lang natin na naglilingkod sila sa atin, pero hindi tayo pinag-i-speculate sa paanong paraan. But ang kanilang paglilingkod ay para sa kapakanan ng ating kaligtasan tungo sa pagmamana nito sa avoid speculation of details, but we acknowledge that angels are God's agents for the good of our salvation.
Yes.
Yes.
It would be 30 years ago when I had read the King James for the first time.
I'm sorry, could you
30 years ago, in 1980, I read the King James in a period of something like 6 months. And what I found, you know, the Lord had all gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's beyond the comprehension of man, but man can have a gift. We don't measure a gift by a degree, but he can have some of a gift or gifts. Are angels next to man, are angels just mere messengers, but they do not have a gift or something along those lines next to people? That we first must experience life in the flesh, learn about the Lord and so forth. And then, you know, spiritual beings in time to come, or whatever. You know.
Well, if you're referring to spiritual gifts, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, that all Christians have gifts, and the purpose of those gifts are for the upbuilding of the church, for the extension of the kingdom. So those gifts, as Peter categorized them in 1 Peter 4, may be speaking gifts or serving gifts. But many times, people, when they talk of gifts, they mean supernatural gifts. And that's not what we mean. That's not what the Bible means by those gifts. So there are those who say that they are gifted to see the future or gifted to talk with spirits. Well, beware of those gifts. The gifts that the New Testament refers to are gifts for the building up of the church, which are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to believers. Other questions?
Me again.
Go ahead.
Somewhere, I'm not sure if it's in Matthew, but somewhere it says it's nice to have the gift, or something along the lines, the gift of tongues, but don't just speak because they cannot understand you. You must have someone to interpret. And when you speak in tongues, one could be in a trance, but they are speaking, praying to the Lord or a language of the Lord.
Well, it's in 1 Corinthians 12, and speaking in tongues is not speaking in a trance. In 1 Corinthians 12, speaking in tongues means speaking prophecy using foreign language, which the audience will not understand.
Yes.
That is the reason why Paul gives the instruction, when anyone speaks in tongues, someone must interpret. And interpret there means to translate,
yes,
in order that it may be understood. So speaking in tongues is not trance-like experience. It is not speaking gibberish, which is the practice in many Christian groups today. That's not biblical speaking in tongues. Biblical speaking in tongues is speaking prophecy in foreign language. So the next question is, do we still have prophecy today? And the answer is no. 1 Corinthians 13 says, when the completion comes, that prophecy will cease. So there are no more prophecies today. If there are no more prophecies, then there are no more speaking in tongues,
yes,
in the biblical sense.
Yes. Going back, in Matthew, it's the time of Jesus' times. It says, if it is in Matthew, I can't recall it exactly, I'd rather have you prophesy if it's meant that you have a gift, but it would be a personal gift.
It's still in 1 Corinthians. It's not in Matthew.
It's in Corinthians.
It's still in 1 Corinthians. And what Paul said was that I would rather prophesy with 5 words that could be understood rather than speak in tongues in 1,000 words that nobody could understand. Yes. But again, because speaking in tongues is prophecy in foreign language.
I was centuries ahead from Old Testament to New Testament. Yeah.
Well, speaking in tongues is only in the New Testament.
In the New Testament, sorry, yes. All right, thank you, Pastor.
Thanks. Let's go back to angels. Suset.
Mali po ba ang magsabing, kasi lagi kong naririnig, oh, ikaw ay isang anghel na pinadala ng Diyos sa akin. Yung usually naririnig ko, ay, salamat, ikaw ay isang anghel na pinadala sa akin.
Well, the Bible actually uses that of men, of individuals, to the angel in the church of Ephesus, right? To the angel in the church, the seven churches of Revelation, sinabi na isulat ni John sa angels doon. And clearly, I like the interpretation that says it refers to the elders, the pastors of those churches. They were called angels. So if you mean it like that, na the Lord sent you to do some good to me, you're an angel. If you mean it like that, it's fine. It's biblical language, actually. I mean, basta kung ikaw ang sabihan, huwag mo lang seryosohin masyado na ikaw ay anghel ng Panginoon. You could be an angel to someone in that sense na a messenger of good. Vic. Sino ba?
Pastor, ano pong masasabi ninyo dun sa nananalangin? Kasi po yung nung nanakawan po kami noon, ang isa ko pong kaibigan ay nanalangin para sa akin. Naniniwala ako, isa siyang Kristiyano. Sabi niya, ang panalangin niya ay mag-send ang Panginoon ng legions of angels to protect us, kaming mag-anak. So what can you say about that prayer? Is it biblical?
Well, the only reference we have in the Bible of legion of angels is when Jesus refused to do that, diba, in order to fulfill the scriptures. Well, which means that it is legitimate to ask. So kung gusto mong manalangin na magsugo ang Panginoon ng mga anghel sa pag-iingat ng isang mahal sa buhay, I will not cavil at that request. In fact, I would appreciate it. Now, what I will not go beyond that is to speculate how it happened. I mean, you can ask, then leave to the Lord how to grant angelic protection. G.
Information lang po ito sa lahat na dito sa Los Baños, meron pong isang group ng isang parang Catholic din sila. Pero ang wini-worship talaga nila is yung angel. Ang tawag nila doon ay kaibigan. Tapos ang kanilang group ay Pagmamahal Foundation. So kung titingnan mo, parang maganda naman ang tunog, kaibigan yung anghel, tapos Pagmamahal Foundation. And they do a lot of yung good works talaga, medical mission, ganyan. Pero pag sila ay nagwo-worship, ang wino-worship nilang head is actually yung nagpo-provide sa atin ng tubig, Aqua Mystica. So yung aling yon used to be a manager ng isang bankong local bank dito sa atin na kumbaga talaga.
Hapo. Totoong tao si Aqua
Totoong
Mystica.
Totoong tao siya. I don't want to give her name. Talagang taong tao siya. Manager nga ng bangko, Pastor, but she retired. And then, pero by the time na nagtatrans daw yung angel sa kanya, yung mga members, they could be lawyers, medical clinicians sila. Talagang professional yung mga members nila. Professors, ay yung iba sa atin kilala yung siguro kilala nila kung papangalanan ko yung professor sa forestry na nag-a-attend doon. And hindi what they do...
Hindi naman Ike Tolinti.
Hindi.
Or Rex.
So, pag nagta-trans na yung angel doon sa manager ng bank na yon, they could wish for, like kunyari, pumasa ka sa bar, pumunta ka sa medical. And puro ano yon, parang yung pangmundo, like they wanted money for something like that. They wanted a baby child, a baby girl. Parang yung wish nila, natutugunan daw noong nagta-trans na angel. So I had the opportunity na makausap siya. So parang alam niya na ako'y biblical yung aking pananaw. So nung nag-uusap kaming dalawa, parang sort of biblical yung mga sinasabi niya. Pero hindi naman ako nakipagtalo sa kanya o ano man. Kasi ang pumunta naman ako sa kanya for business purposes. So business lang kami. Kung ano man yung belief niya, kahit sabihan niya ako ng parang mga biblical na messages niya, hindi naman ako parang, hindi na lang ako nagkikibo. Kasi parang, ewan ko kung natatakot din ako na baka biglang manigas at mag-trans yung...
Well, thanks for the information, G. Ang warning ko lang sa mga ganyan, sabi sa Colossians 2, verse 18, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So nagbabala si Pablo sa worship of angels, and in particular, yung intruding into those things na he has not seen. Ibig sabihin, on the level beyond our natural observation, yun nga ang sinasabi kong speculation. Pag may mga taong ganyan, huwag naman kayong matakot. Wala silang magagawa na hindi ipahintulot ng Panginoon. So, merong reserve. Yan ang sinabi, makikita pa natin to more next Sunday. Even in the case raw ni Michael, the archangel, sabi sa Jude, ay hindi siya basta ganun lang makitungo kahit sa kalabang mga masasamang espiritu. So, let us avoid yung ganung mga mapangahas na pakikitungo sa mga ganun, pero hindi rin dapat matakot. Minsan ako ganun pag mag-isa ako, nagiging mapangahas akong nangahamon. Sige, pakita kayo. Eh, minsan napanood ko yung yun, nakakatakot na, I'm not one to easily scare. Pero nung napanood ko yung The Grudge, eh grabe talaga yun. Sabi ko, huwag muna ngayon. Sige, sir.
Sa campus, isa sa mga topic doon is the, nawala tuloy.
Topic sa camp.
Implicatory prayer.
Implicatory, yes. The question is, can we even pray imprecation in the New Testament times? The only near equivalent of that sa New Testament ay yung prayer ng mga nasa langit na waiting for the day of vengeance, which is the day of the coming of the Lord. Whether we can pray for specific imprecation today, the only example I can cite ay sa 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. So that is some sort of imprecation, pero it's always left to the Lord. Now, whether you can actually pray for judgment on specific individuals is something that I believe is not according to the spirit of the New Testament, which is always praying for the grace of God even upon enemies. Yung prayer ng Panginoon, forgive them. for they do not know what they are doing. And even Stephen, when he was being stoned, nanalangin siya para sa kanyang mga taga-usig. So, imprecation has a theology in the Old Testament, which has its equivalent in the New Testament. I doubt if it is something that individual Christians should be praying for specific individuals.
Come, Lord Jesus. It's already an imprecatory prayer.
Well, in the sense that you know that the implication of the coming of Christ is judgment and vengeance. But you're praying for an event which is redemptive. Iba yun sa, halimbawa, nagalit ka sa isang tao at nanalangin ka, Panginoon, parusahan mo yung taong yun. That would be a different spirit from the New Testament. And the last two points. Asel.
Pastor, dun po sa, hindi ko po maalala kung sino yung prophet na meron siyang alalay yata, na natatakot. And then the prophet prayed that the Lord may open his eyes so na makita po yung mga laksa-laksang angels na nag-guard sa Israel. So, if we are the modern Israel, could we also say na yung angels ng Lord ay nagpo-protect sa kanyang mga anak?
It's the case ng Elisha with his servant, and we see that in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha prayed to open the servant's eyes, and when the eyes were opened, he saw chariots of fire. But what does that tell us? It tells us that it is beyond our natural observation. It needed special revelation to that servant in order for him to see. So are there angels now? I'm sure there are, but we do not speculate. Yan ang sinasabi ng Colossians 2:18 na you do not, huwag kang mangahas doon sa mga bagay na hindi mo nakikita. Kaya tayo, huwag tayong mangahas na bigkasin o i-describe yung mga bagay na hindi ipinapakita sa atin. Kaya kung meron mang ganyan, we are not to describe like we are seeing them. Jomet.
Yung question ko po is on the lighter side. We can see that this is just okay to receive and yung, kasi hindi ba nakakita yung mga figurines ba ang tawag doon? Yung mga angels na they're really so cute and nice to look. Yung mga pangregalo, gift items. It's just okay to, although I don't have it anymore, kasi ang cute lang nila. Before, I have a lot of yung mga figurines na angels na, is it okay for us as Christians to receive all those gifts? Kasi yung mga akin, diniscard ko na kasi pang dust, ano lang sila eh, dust collector.
I mean,
lighter side.
Like you said, lighter side. We all have our lighter side, and as long as we take it in the lighter side, I don't think there's anything wrong, whether you give or receive. But again, the point is, just like reading novels, I read Frank Peretti's novels, and I like them as novels, but I don't take them seriously as though they're truth. The problem was, many Christians, when they read the novels of Frank Peretti about angelic warfare, they took it seriously, and now they are applying it, practicing it, and that's what makes it wrong. So yung mga lighter side na meron kang cute na mga angelic figurines, as long as you don't believe na angels are little children, as long as you take it lightly and as entertainment, I don't think there would be anything wrong with that. So any follow-up? Sige, last Vic.
Pastor, naisip ko lang po, yung sa Hebrews 13:2, di ba sabi nga, you entertain strangers because by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Parang sa panahon ngayon, iniisip ko, parang wala na siguro akong ma-entertain na angel. Kasi, of course, nakakatakot na mag-entertain ng strangers.
Well, of course, gagamit naman tayo ng sensibility natin sa mga ilang pagkakataon. Baka magpatuloy ka na lang at hindi lang siya yung nawala, pati mga gamit mo nawala. hindi angel yon, masamang loob yon. Yung tinutukoy riyan na entertain ay nasa context ng Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. So it is within the brethren, within the kapatiran. Hindi ibig sabihin na stranger in the sense na talagang wala kang nalalaman. I-connect natin yan doon sa 2 John and 3 John na nagpapatuloy rin ng mga mangangaral na nagpupunta sa iba't ibang lugar. Pag alam mong pinadala ng mangangaral ay magiging hospitable ka sa kanya bilang nakikiisa sa kanyang ipinapangaral. So ito yung tinutukoy yan. Hindi ito tumutukoy sa you don't know the person from Adam and then pinatuloy mo out of hospitality. So yung sumunod nga mga pangyayari ay nawala na siya, nawala na rin mga gamit mo. Hindi yung angelic encounter. So ang pinakita natin dito, we have angels active among Christians for the purpose ng ating saving progress until glory. But again and again, the warning is being brought forward to you. Do not speculate. Do not treat this with fantasy. Treat this with reserve and sobriety, which is what we have in the scriptures. Tayo manalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, kami nagpapasalamat sa mga pahayag at turo ng iyong salita, maging sa isang bagay na malimit ay nawawala ng kahinahunan ang mga gumagamit nito. Help us, Lord, to reflect the sobriety, even the reserve of the scriptures when they teach anything concerning angels. We thank you for the thought that they are with us as ministering spirits who serve for the good of our progress in salvation. May we not allow ourselves to be pulled into fantasies concerning this subject, but grant, O Lord, that in all our treatment of this, we may not lose sight of the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For he himself is worshipped by angels, and we join angels in this regard, that we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray all these things. Amen.